Most people have at least heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world, but couldn't actually list them, let alone know who made the list and why there are only seven, when there are so many incredible ancient structures. Why are there multiple Grecian structures included, some of which were around less than a century, yet the Great Wall of China didn't make the list? What even makes them wonders? I'm Laura Taylor. And with me, as always, is my pop culture expert, Andrew Hook.
Hello there.
Welcome to Digging Deeper with the Ancients. So in this episode, we'll be going over the seven wonders of the ancient world, including the who, what, when, where, and why of the list itself, as well as discussing each wonder individually. Now, this is a little confusing because we are going to go over the original list of the seven ancient wonders of the world.
So not the modern seven wonders.
There are multiple lists, and one of them is the modern list that does include the Great Wall of China, but we are going to go over the original list. This was the very first ancient wonders of the world list.
With the exception, like, we're going to talk about it, but we're going to go over it in more detail. You'll get to that.
Yes, there's out of the seven wonders of the ancient world, only one of them still remains standing to this day. And that one, as well as the area in which it sits, we'll get a whole episode on its own. Before we get too far into the episode, though, I'd like to remind everyone that if you have any questions or comments, or if you have any suggestions for future topics, you can please email us at diggingdeeperwiththeancients@gmail.com.
All one word.
So individually, the seven wonders of the ancient world can be regarded as astounding architectural achievements or marvels of human imagination and engineering. But together, they form an ancient travel guide. They consist of a mausoleum, a temple, two statues, a lighthouse, a near-mythical garden, and a pyramid. So, guess which one is the one that we're giving a whole episode to? That's right, the one that still exists.
The lighthouse. Oh.
The pyramid, you brat. So, the list is the mausoleum at Halicarnassus, which is an ancient city in what is now modern Turkey, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, which is an ancient city in what is now Turkey, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia,
which is Greece,
in Greece, the Colossus of Rhodes, which is in Greece, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, which is on the island Pharos, in the harbor of the city of Alexandria in Egypt. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which was an ancient city in what is now Iraq. And the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. Now, the pyramid, some lists have the pyramid complex on the list, as in all three pyramids. But most of the original lists just have the Great Pyramid. They all existed at the time that the lists were made.
Yes.
But they wanted to put one structure on it. And when you go to see the Great Pyramid, you're going to see them all anyways.
Right.
So despite only being a short-lived collection, with the last to be completed, the Colossus of Rhodes, it stood for less than 60 years. And the Hanging Gardens of Babylon may not have existed at all. These wonders continue to capture imaginations and drive archaeologists and treasure hunters alike. They laid the foundations for what humans could achieve. Yet, for all their fame, there are many questions surrounding these classical creations. Who decided what constituted a wonder in the first place? Well, you may have noticed that the list is very limited geographically. All are located around the Mediterranean Sea, and it includes multiple Grecian creations. Because the list was created by
the Greeks.
Yes, the Greeks, exactly. Because even though a couple of them are in modern-day Turkey, they are still Greece creations. Yes. Like, one of them is the Temple of Artemis, who was a Greek god.
Yes.
The idea of creating a list of architectural wonders arose following Alexander the Great's conquest of much of the known world in the 4th century BC.
Wait, wasn't he Greek?
Alexander the Great was a Greek conqueror. So him conquering most of what they thought was the known world at that time gave Greek travelers access to the civilizations of the Egyptians, Persians, and Babylonians. As Greek travelers explored the conquests of other civilizations, they compiled early guidebooks of the most remarkable things to see, meant as recommendations for future tourists. So now you're probably asking, why call them wonders? Like in today's tourist books or websites or whatever, they're typically called sights to see or sometimes even just interesting things to do.
I have a feeling they were called wonders because at the time they were amazing structures that were...
The thing is, they weren't originally called wonders.
Oh.
Originally, they were called landmarks that bewildered and inspired them, theemata, which technically means sights. So it's just like you would see in modern travel guides, sights to see. But this evolved to the grander name of thaumata, which meant wonders. So because the words are so similar, theemata, and then it went to thaumata. So basically they replaced an E with a U.
So it was a misspelling.
It went from sights to wonders. Yes, exactly. So it does, I mean, who knows whether that was on purpose or not. It makes them grander, which at the time, if you're trying to get people to travel too, if you want people to come, making them sound grander definitely is a bonus, but it also could have just been a spelling mistake near the very beginning, right? Yeah. The seven wonders we know today are an amalgamation of all the different lists from antiquity. The best known versions come from the 2nd century BC poet Antipater of Sidon and mathematician Philo of Byzantium. But other names include one we've mentioned in a couple of our previous episodes, the Greek historian Herodotus. Do you not remember?
No. I'd like to say yes, but no.
Yeah, I've mentioned him a couple times. He is one of the main references for Greek mythology.
Was he one of the ones for, like, the Minoans?
He did, I believe he did mention linear A or B.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah. One of the early languages, whether it was the Minoans language, Linear A, or whether it was the one that adopted their... Anyways, whether it was Linear B,
which... Anyway, you talked about him before. Go back and listen. You'll hear about it.
Yes, I have talked about him a couple times. Not in great detail, but he is the main reference for most Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. So what made their list relied on where they themselves traveled and, of course, their personal opinion. So while we recognize the Lighthouse of Alexandria as a wonder today because it made more lists, some other ancients left it out completely. They favored the Ishtar Gate of Babylon instead. Because the lighthouse, I guess, was just a lighthouse? I don't know. Anyways, the Ishtar Gate is very interesting in and of itself and can be seen reconstructed in the movie The Eternals.
Yes.
As well as a real smaller scale version that you can visit at the Pergamum Museum in Berlin, Germany. The reconstructed gate also incorporates fragments from the original gateway, but others remain on site at a UNESCO World Heritage Site in southern Iraq. So the site is as protected as possible.
Yeah.
We've mentioned UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Our first two episodes. Yeah,
usually when there's things where you're digging a well.
That's very true. Sorry, enough about the gate, though. It is really incredible to see.
Yeah.
I will.
It looked really good in the movie.
Yeah, it did. That part of why I really liked that movie is just all the historical references. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so why are there only seven? The Greeks chose this number as they believed it held spiritual significance and represented perfection. This may be as it was the number of five known planets at the time, plus the sun and moon. Although these seven wonders are still celebrated today, they show the fleeting nature of even the grandest physical achievements. Nature, human behavior, and the passage of time have destroyed all but one. And even the one that exists has been altered significantly, mm-hmm. even though it still is very impressive.
Yes. It's
something I would love to see for myself. Mm. But the first one we'll talk about is the mausoleum at Halicarnassus. It was approximately 135 feet tall, or 41 meters, and it stood for 1,755 years. Now, obviously, the dates and specific details about a lot of these structures are approximate, because the measurement systems at the time were not extremely accurate, let alone...
They were units. You're like from your wrist to your elbow.
Yeah, exactly. And then you take that, writing it down and converting it over a couple thousand, for this one. Yeah.
Like it could have been a really small guy that built it, and he's using this measurement. And a guy who reads this thing is a really big guy and at a much bigger distance.
Luckily, they are considered to be relatively accurate because of the number of lists that were compiled, right? Oh. So they can take averages at least. So it's not like it's going to be one extreme or the other. But yes, as I said, the mausoleum at Halicarnassus is located what is now southeastern Turkey. The mausoleum was a tomb built by Artemisia for her husband and brother Mausolos. Yes, husband and brother. But then again, that was very common at the time. Mausolos was the king or possibly governor in the Persian Empire. And after his death in 353 BC, his wife Artemisia had this mausoleum built. According to legend, she was so grief-stricken at his passing that she mixed his ashes with water and drank them in addition to ordering the mausoleum's construction. The massive mausoleum was made entirely of white marble and is thought to have been about 135 feet tall. The building's complicated design, consisting of three rectangular layers, may have been an attempt by the Grecian architects to reconcile Lycian, which are the ancient people who inhabited the area and who King Mausolos was descended from, as well as Greek and Egyptian architectural styles. The first layer was a 60-foot base of steps, followed by a middle layer of 36 Ionic columns, which is Ionic columns are a type of Greek architecture, and a steeped pyramid-shaped roof, which would be the Egyptian component. At the very top of the roof lay the tomb, decorated by the work of four sculptors, and a 20-foot marble rendition of a four-horse chariot. I'll include pictures of this, and I'll include as many artist renditions and as I can on my Instagram, because I mean, we can't see these in person now, but they're incredible, even just the artist renditions based on descriptions. It's really impressive. And actually, there's a cartoon that we'll talk about at the end. But I ended up watching the entire series just over the past, week, because it features all of the wonders. And even in that, they're pretty incredible to see. But yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. Mausoleum was adorned with intricate exterior carvings and precious works of art, despite standing for centuries and even surviving a raid by Alexander the Great of Macedonia. A series of earthquakes in 1404 AD finally rocked it to its core. The mausoleum was largely destroyed in this earthquake, and its remains were later used in the fortification of a castle. In 1846, pieces of one of the mausoleum's friezes were extracted from the castle and now reside, along with other relics from Halicarnassus' site, in London's British Museum. Unfortunately, the British Museum is huge, so even though we've been there, we didn't actually get to see this because we didn't know what we were looking for.
It's huge. You could spend a week there and still not see everything.
Yes, it was definitely we were definitely most impressed by the British Museum, despite not having seen things like this. The tomb was so famous that Mausolos' name has become the root word for large tombs in many languages. For example, mausolo in Spanish or mausoleum in English. So that is where the term mausoleum comes from, mausolo. Next, we'll talk about the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. It's also called Artesium. It was approximately 60 feet tall or 18 meters tall and stood for 194 years. In Ephesus, a temple was constructed that was reportedly so magnificent it caused Philo of Byzantium, who was a Greek engineer, physicist, and physicist who read about mechanics, to say, "I have seen the walls and hanging gardens of ancient Babylon, the statue of Olympian Zeus, the Colossus of Rhodes, the mighty work of the High Pyramids, and the tomb of Mausolos. But when I saw the temple at Ephesus, rising to the clouds, all these other wonders were put in the shade. So yeah, he's a writer, which so it sounds really pretty, but that's impressive. He's comparing this to the other, and it's quote-unquote just a temple, but still. Another writer, the Greek poet Antipater of Sidon, wrote this of the temple. Apart from Olympus, the sun never looked on anything so grand. And when saying Olympus, they mean Mount Olympus, as far as for like with Greek mythology, the mountain where the gods lived.
Right.
So he's comparing it directly with Mount Olympus. Now, the original temple was built by Croesus, king of Lydia, in 550 BC. It was designed by a Cretan architect and his son and was decorated by some of the most celebrated artists of the ancient world. The temple was about 115 meters or 377 feet long and 55 meters or 200 feet wide, which is at least twice the size of the Parthenon in Athens. Now, I compare it to the Parthenon because the Parthenon is still, its basic structure is still standing, and it's one of the greatest sites to see in Greece, even today. One of the greatest ancient sites that you can still see today. And it is absolutely incredible. I have a friend who actually saw it.
Now, the Parthenon, that is the white pillars.
Yes, it is the temple to Athena.
Right.
In Athens, yes. It's, and this is twice as big as that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Although, not that I've seen that one, but I've seen pictures.
But yeah, I haven't saw it either, but it's...
Which we will still have pictures on our Instagram to see what that one is, and you can kind of compare it to that, and you'll have artist renditions?
Yeah, yeah. It's artist renditions or 3D compositions or things like that. There's a variety out there. It's just a matter of which I can get.
Right.
Even just, copyright. Yeah, even which ones I can just get permissions and give proper accurate credit to. So, but if you ever want to see anything else, if you're curious, you can always use Google Images yourself too.
What?
Yeah. But we will compile some of them for you. So the temple included 127 Ionic columns, and unlike many other temples of the time, it was built of marble and glittered with gold. It was so breathtaking, it was said to rise to the clouds and was a revered place of worship that went through several phases of destruction and rebuilding. The temple housed many incredible works of art, but the most famous was the statue of Artemis herself. Although the original no longer exists, it was thought to have been made of gold and other beautiful materials. Her legs were covered with animals and bees, with her breasts exposed to symbolize her role in fertility. The building burned on July 21st, 356 BC. According to legend, it was the same night that Alexander the Great was born. We'll have to do an episode on Alexander the Great now that I've talked about him like three or four times in this single episode.
Yeah, it's not like we haven't brought him up before.
Yeah. It was torched by a Greek citizen named Herostratus. I almost don't want to say his name because he claimed that he burned the marble so that his name would be known to history. And he obviously succeeded. In spite of the government executing him for doing it and declaring that it was illegal to utter his name. Obviously somebody spilled the beans. Somebody, yeah, because I'm not going to mention again, but his name is widely known to history.
If it makes you feel better, I've already forgotten it.
That's good. About 6 years later, the building of the new Temple of Artemis began, and it lasted until it was destroyed by Goths in AD 262. So that one lasted for about 500 years.
It was destroyed by Goths?
Yeah.
Yeah, emo kids with bad hair?
No. Oh. Goths as in the invaders.
Come on, that was funny.
I apparently have a lot of... See, there's so much content I could get for podcasts just from explaining this stuff to you. But we want to do worldwide things, not just stick in the Mediterranean. So the Goth explanation and Alexander the Great will probably have to wait a bit. It was rebuilt again after the Goths destroyed it. Then, in 401, it was destroyed a final time by an angry mob led by the Archbishop of Constantinople. It wasn't until the 1860s that archaeologists dug up the first ruins of the temple, which were found at the bottom of the Keister River. Laid at the bottom of the river for 14...
Yeah, I didn't even touch that Constantinople joke. I had one.
Well, go for it.
Istanbul was Constantinople. But now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
There you go. Next one is the third, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, which stood approximately 39 feet tall, or 12 meters, and was around for about 855 years. Now, one question I have about this, which you can think about while I'm describing it, is when I went over the description of it, and then I was looking for pictures online, one picture popped up, that like a modern picture, that made me wonder if it was based on it. The Lincoln Memorial. Do you think that might have been based on... I'll describe the statue and you can give it a thought. I couldn't find anything that said anything about whether it was even inspired, but... The famed statue of Zeus, the king of the gods in Greek mythology, was crafted by the Athenian sculptor Phidias and completed and placed in the Temple of Zeus at Olympia, site of the ancient Olympic Games, around the mid-5th century BC. The statue depicted the god of thunder seated, bare-chested, at the wooden throne. Holding up the throne's armrests were two carved sphinxes, which are mythical creatures with the head of a head and chest of a woman, the body of a lion, and the wings of a bird. Statue and throne were crusted in gold, precious gems, ivory, and ebony. And Zeus held a statue of Nike, the goddess of victory, in his right hand with a scepter topped with an eagle in his left. Including Nike was very appropriate for the city that held the Olympic Games.
Yeah, nice to know that Zeus wore Nikes.
No, he was holding
a Nike. He was doing an ad.
But the whole seated in a big temple.
Yeah, I can definitely see the Lincoln Memorial being indirectly influenced by the...
We're not Americans, so we don't know a whole lot about the Lincoln Memorial. Like I said, it just popped up when I was looking for images. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was kind of interesting. So, yeah, if you do know anything about that, please email us and let us know. The statue was revered by most as a stunning earthly representation of the great god that filled passerbys with awe. The fate of the statue is actually debated, though, which doesn't make sense for such an important piece. How do you not know what happened to an 800-year-old statue?
Maybe they got drunk.
It's 12 meters tall. But I guess even magnificent world wonders can get lost, especially in an area prone to earthquakes and invasions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, in 426 AD, the temple was destroyed by fires caused by an earthquake. And many historians believe that the statue was destroyed at that time. Others believe, however, that due to the spread of Christianity in the area, the statue was moved to Constantinople, now Istanbul, and destroyed about 50 years later, where it was again destroyed in a fire. Although many copies of the statue were made during its 800-year lifespan, none are known to have survived. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it is literally insane.
Now, onto another wonder that has a more direct connection with a U.S. Landmark wonder, I guess?
No, I believe it, she's called a landmark.
Landmark? Okay. The Colossus of Rhodes, which was approximately 107 feet tall and 33 meters. Now, it stood for only 60 years. And the Colossus of Rhodes was an inspiration for the Statue of Liberty, which is much bigger, but at the time, like, the Statue of Liberty is approximately 151 feet tall. Mm-hmm. The Colossus of Rhodes was 107. But considering it was made a couple thousand years later...
Yep. And what was the Colossus of Rhodes made out of? Like marble or stone, right?
Bronze,
okay.
But they didn't have the... They didn't have the steel interior, so...
Right.
Which, the Statue of Liberty is like...
I believe so, if I remember Ghostbusters 2 correctly.
Anyways, it has more reinforcements, that's for sure, than the Colossus of Rhodes would have had. So, visitors to ancient Rhodes, an island in the eastern Aegean Sea, were greeted by an enormous bronze statue of the Greek god Helios, erected between 292 and 280 BC by the sculptors Charles of Lindos. The statue was a victory monument designed to honor the defeat of an invading army in 304 BC, and the tallest statue in the ancient world. They believe that it was thanks to Helios that they were able to withstand a long siege and emerge victorious. The Colossus was built with bronze, reinforced with iron, and weighted with stones. So not quite the steel and concrete and stuff like that. They could be used theoretically. I'm not sure. We'd have to... Modern wonders are not my specialty, so... Most believe that it depicted the sun god standing naked while he lifted a torch with one hand and held a spear in the other. While it is often depicted straddling the harbor, this is now considered highly unlikely because the statue's legs would have been built close together to support its immense weight. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it likely stood just beside the harbor. Although, for pictures and to think about it, it is more impressive to think about it straddling.
Yeah, and then you can look up his skirt.
Yeah, you drive under, drive between his...
Then you see how impressive he really is.
After standing for only 56 years, an earthquake destroyed the statue in 224 BC. Despite snapping at the knees and falling onto the land, the ruins remained a popular attraction for more than 800 years. Hundreds of years later, Arabs invaded Rhodes and sold the remains of the statue as scrap metal. So it's similar to what a lot of antique metal statues happen. Like, Colosseum was raided for its bronze statues and things like that. Same thing happened to this giant wonder of the world. So it is because of this that archaeologists do not know much about the exact location of the statue or what it looked like. Next, we'll go on to the Lighthouse of Alexandria. It's also named after the island it sits on, which is Pharos. It was 384 feet tall, or approximately 117 meters, and it stood for 1,602 years. Now, this ancient lighthouse, considered a technical masterpiece that served as the model for all lighthouses that followed, was constructed on Pharos, an island in the harbor of Alexandria in Egypt. Its construction was started by Alexander the Great and completed around 270 BC by his son. Standing over 107 meters tall and conceived as a navigational landmark for voyagers along the Egyptian coast, the lighthouse was constructed in three distinct stages: a square stone base, an octagonal middle section, and a cylindrical section at the top. It was built with marble blocks and lead mortar. Within the lighthouse was a ramp and dumbwaiter that allowed wood to be transported to the fire that burned at night at the top. And on top of the lighthouse likely stood a statue. It's unknown which statue. It could have been Alexander, could have been his son who finished it, or it could have been Zeus or Poseidon. Inside the open top of the lighthouse was a large curved mirror that was used to reflect the sunlight during the day and the fire at night. They said that mariners could see the light up to 35 miles away. Legends have it that the light was so bright it could be used to burn enemy ships.
That's a good theory.
It's a legend for a reason. Yeah. There are many stories about its ultimate demise. However, the most likely cause is believed to be as many as 22 earthquakes between 320 AD in 1323 AD. So we're talking about 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. But 22 earthquakes that just...
Over time
battered it. Yeah. But it led to its decommission in 1323 AD. And then it was completely gone by 1480. So it still took another 150 years after that, too. Mm-hmm. Today, visitors to the site where the lighthouse stood encounter an Egyptian fort, which was built using some of the stones from the lighthouse ruins. Now, a lot of the lighthouse still remains at the bottom of the sea, which every once in a while they'll still go down and people will still do excavations and look for pieces, but it is widely known that a lot of the lighthouse sits at the bottom of the sea. The Lighthouse of Alexandria was so famous in ancient times that the island on which it stood, Pharos, became the root for a lighthouse in many languages. So similar to mausolos and mausoleum, pharos, For example, in French, phare is the root for the word lighthouse. I don't have an English example, like mausoleum, but... Okay, next we'll go over the least known of the wonders, which is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which have an unknown height and may have stood for approximately 374 years.
Or may not have existed at all.
Exactly. The fact that so many lists included them make me think they must have existed to some extent.
Right.
But there's a lot of skepticism.
And it's not like Babylon didn't have really cool things like the wall.
The Gates of Ishtar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're including it because it made a lot of lists, and although I don't think there's really any archaeology evidence, which is usually my go-to, The fact that so many writers included it does make me think it probably existed to some extent.
Right.
Despite being named one of the seven ancient wonders, there is not much firsthand evidence that the gardens actually existed. Those who claim to have witnessed the gardens, including Greek historians Strabo and Diodorus Siculus, describe them as marvels of agricultural engineering, an amazing array of blooming flowers, luscious fruit, exotic foliage, and impressive waterfalls were said to have filled them. The Hanging Gardens were believed to have been built around 600 BC by Nebuchadnezzar II, who ruled Babylonia from 605 to 562 BC. According to ancient Greek poets, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were built near the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq, and were said to have been planted as high as 75 feet in the air on a huge square brick terrace that was laid out in steps like a theater. The king allegedly built the towering gardens to ease his wife's homesickness for the natural beauty of her home in Media, which is the northwestern part of modern-day Iraq. Later writers described how people could walk underneath the beautiful gardens, which rested on tall columns. The Hanging Gardens were another wonder that was destroyed in earthquakes. So they were said to have been destroyed in 226 BC. So this, in spite of them being featured in the cartoon series that we'll bring up later called Gladiators, which, like I said, I really liked, even if they did exist, they would have been long gone before that show took place, which occurs at the time of the Roman Emperor Hadrian. So, Babylon being in the middle of the desert had no such natural greenery, however, calling into question how such lushness would have survived in the dryness of the desert. Recent excavations have suggested the use of an exceptional system of irrigation using a cellar well in conjunction with a chain pump to raise the water to the gardens. Still, other theories even suggest that the gardens weren't in Babylon at all. Instead, they were constructed on the eastern bank of the Tigris River. Modern scientists have deduced that for the gardens to survive, they would have to have been irrigated using a system consisting of a pump, water wheel, and cisterns to carry water from the Euphrates many feet into the air. Though there are multiple accounts of the gardens in both Greek and Roman literature, none of them are firsthand, and no mention of the gardens has been found in Babylonian cuneiform inscriptions. So there's been no mention by the Babylonians themselves of these gardens existing. Huh. So is it something that the ancient Greeks made up? Maybe they were just reading each other's...
Maybe to the ancient Babylonians, it was just like, yeah, we had this. What are you talking about?
It's not a big deal, yeah. So as a result, most modern scholars believe that the existence of the gardens was part of an inspired and widely believed but still fictional tale. Maybe there were gardens somewhere else, or maybe they just weren't that impressive, and then the Greeks built them up over time in their stories.
Or maybe they just happened to have found a garden in the middle of the desert.
That's true, yeah.
There's a garden here. It's amazing.
Yep. So regardless of the final outcome, it is interesting to note that the imagination of the poets and ancient historians may have created one of the wonders of the world, or at least likely emphasized it beyond what it was, especially since there's not really an idea of how tall they stood. I will provide, though, on the Instagram, I will provide pictures of various artist renditions of what they may have looked like. And then the last wonder, which is the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. Now, it is 455 feet tall, approximately 139 meters, and it has stood for 4,580 years and is still standing. Or approximately 4,580 years. I think it's a little bit less than that, but...
Or it could be more. We weren't there.
Well, yeah. And for this final wonder, we'll discuss it in the next episode. So stick around.
So in 2 weeks' time, we will have that episode out talking elaborately about the Pyramid of Giza, or the Great Pyramid of Giza, and its surrounding area.
Yes, the Giza Plateau, or Pyramid Complex. But to finish off my portion, I have to include my Simpsons reference. So, The Simpsons, the book Bart Simpson's Guide to Life, a Wee Handbook for the Perplexed, published in 1993. Yes, I did own this book way back then. Features a section in the art and culture section titled Bartholomew J, in brackets, for Genuine. Simpson presents the Seven Wonders of the World. Now, I don't have this book anymore. But I highly doubt Bart Simpson talks about the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World. It's still a neat reference that the Seven Wonders of the World gets brought up in a Simpsons book for children. It just shows how far we've come from ancient times that, they bring up a list. And like I said, I'm pretty sure from my memory, I'm pretty sure this list was actually like Seven Wonders in like the Simpson universe type thing, but I don't remember. The Simpsons Tapped Out mobile game also contains multiple references to the ancient wonders, from statues and temples to mausoleums and pyramids. And just also thinking about it, pretty much every modern lighthouse and mausoleum can be traced back to the original Seven Ancient Wonders.
Just from the name alone.
Yeah, exactly. They were the origins. And that is all I have.
Okay. Well, there's quite a bit of stuff for the Seven Wonders in pop culture. Starting with movies and TV. In 1961, there's a movie called The Colossus of Rhodes, which I believe talked about the Colossus of Rhodes.
It may have featured the Colossus of Rhodes.
Possibly. Okay. In 1997, there was a movie called Hercules, put out by Disney.
Yep, the Disney cartoon.
Yeah, there was the Statue of Zeus in that.
Okay.
Alexander, in 2004, they had the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Ooh. In Cleopatra, in 1963, the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The Eternals, in 2021, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Loki, in 2021, the Pyramids of Giza and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. Lighthouse of Alexandria was just, and the pyramids were barely seen.
They were just kind of background.
Yeah, when
the they end went, of time, right?
Yeah. DuckTales, an episode called Home Sweet Homer in 1987, The Colossus of Rhodes. Okay. Slaves of Babylon in 1953. I'll let you guess which one.
Hanging
Gardens of Babylon. An Italian cartoon, which Laura has not stopped talking about since she started watching it, called Gladiators, came out in 2009. Well, at least the English dub came out in 2009. And they talk about and show every single one of the wonders.
They visit every single one of them. Yes, yeah. I was very impressed. Even though time-wise...
And five of the episodes, one of the episodes is called The Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, The Lighthouse of Alexandria, The Temple of Artemis, The Statue of Zeus, and The Colossus of Rhodes.
But they do visit the Hanging Gardens.
But they do visit the Hanging Gardens and the pyramid as well. Another cartoon called Montana Jones. It goes to the Artemis Temple. The episode's called The Artemis Temple, where they talk about the Temple of Artemis.
Cool.
1956, a movie called Seven Wonders of the World, where they discuss all seven wonders of the world. And Salvador Dali created seven paintings, one for each wonder.
That is
for cool. That movie. Enigmas of the Ancient World in 2019, where they discuss all of the ancient wonders. The Matrix that came out in 1999. Morpheus's ship is called the Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes, Nebuchadnezzar.
Which is the king who made the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. 2001, The Fellowship of the Ring. There's a couple of giant statues along the side of the river, which were, I'm fairly certain, inspired by the Colossus of Rhodes. Doctor Who. There's a few different things with Doctor Who. The 11th Doctor, in an episode called The Wedding of River Song, they go to the Great Pyramid of Giza, and Logopolis, with the 4th Doctor, he goes to the Lighthouse of Alexandria. There's a comic called Minus Seven Wonders, the 10th Doctor, where they talk about the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Temple of Artemis, the Colossus of Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. The 6th Doctor, a short story called The 8th Wonder of the World, where they also discuss the Colossus of Rhodes, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, and the Pyramids of Giza. There's another short story called The Book of Shadows, where it's the Lighthouse of Alexandria, and also The Ruby's Curse, which also talks about the Lighthouse of Alexandria.
There's also one where they visit another planet, and they have a gardens that is inspired by the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. But since it's really hard for even the Doctor to get back to see. We don't even know if they existed, right?
Right.
So he brings his companion to go see these Hanging Gardens on another planet.
Right. In Star Trek, there's an episode of Voyager called, with the title 1159. It came out in 1999. It's an episode where Tom Paris challenges Neelix to list all 7 wonders of the ancient world in order of construction. And 7 of 9 helps Neelix with the last one, the Lighthouse of Alexandria. Neelix had listed on screen the Temple of Artemis, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, and the Colossus of Rhodes. And we're assuming the rest were mentioned off screen because, well, for time, I guess. I don't know. In video games, Civilization.
Yes.
1991. Well, actually, Civilization 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Sorry, Civilization 1 and 2, The Colossus of Rhodes, Hanging Gardens of Babylon, Lighthouse of Alexandria, and the Pyramids of Giza. Civilization 3 and 4 had all of those, but also included the Statue of Zeus and the Temple of Artemis. And 5 and 6 has all of them. So, there's that. There's a board game called 7 Wonders, which it's about 7 Wonders.
Yep.
In 2000, there was a game called Pharaoh Cleopatra, where the Lighthouse of Alexandria, Children of the Nile in 2004, Lighthouse of Alexandria, Total War Rome 2, 2013, Lighthouse of Alexandria, Assassin's Creed Origins in 2017, Lighthouse of Alexandria.
A lot of these probably also feature the pyramid, right?
Possibly. Yeah.
But pyramids are next episode.
Right.
So, okay.
SimCity 3000 in 1999, Lighthouse of Alexandria. Forge of Empires 2013, Lighthouse of Alexandria. Humankind 2021, Lighthouse of Alexandria. Crusader Kings in 2012, Lighthouse of Alexandria. Imperator Rome 2019, Lighthouse of Alexandria. God of War 2 in 2007. The Colossus of Rhodes. There, we got a change. Woo! Assassin's Creed Odyssey in 2018. The Statue of Zeus. Books. George R.R. Martin. A Song of Ice and Fire. The City of Braavos, the Titan of Braavos, is in reference to the Colossus of Rhodes.
Yeah, makes sense.
The New Colossus is a sonnet by Emma Lazarus. It was a poem or a sonnet made to raise money for the pedestal for the Statue of Liberty. And that poem, that sonnet, it can actually be found on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. Songs, Gary Newman has 7 albums called Babylon.
Wow.
Yeah, and they came out between 1995 and 1996.
So he was a fan.
Yeah, he was a fan.
7 albums in 1 year.
Yeah, well, over 2 years, yeah. Surge, I don't think there was like full albums. I think there was like 5 songs per album, but still. Sergey Silver, World Wonders, talks about all of the wonders. Queen, the song called Miracle, has a direct reference to the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Grinderman has a song called Palaces of Montezuma, where they talk about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Army of Lovers Say Goodbye to Babylon in 1991, where they once again talk about Hanging Gardens. The New Pornographers, The Colossus of Rhodes, that's the name of the song, where they talk about, well, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Obviously, yeah.
There's an album called Colossus of Rhodes by Sean Wayland. It came out in 2002. DJ Mateo has a song called Niagara Falls, which I can't remember why I have that one down.
Isn't that the one where he references lots of different
things? Yes, actually, yeah, he references much all of the...
He just says the words, though. It's not like he gives any
kind of in-depth
reference.
Not like he's talking about them. He just mentions them.
In a long list or something
also
like that.
Also, a band called Jedi Mind Tricks. There's a song called Chinese Water Torture, where they also talk about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and the Temple of Artemis. So...
I'm impressed by the number of references to things like the Temple of Artemis.
Yeah, and you know honestly, I didn't even get into comic books because I could be here for another hour just talking about DC and Marvel and everyone going to Egypt and
time. And like we said, most of these actually feature a lot of these feature pyramids, the pyramids as well. But since we are doing an entire episode to the pyramids, most of those references will be for next week.
Yeah, I got to save something for next week.
Just like I have a much better Simpsons reference for next week as well.
Well, there you go. But yeah, that's all I have for this episode.
Sorry, not next week. Two weeks from now.
Our next episode.
Yes. But yeah, if you have any questions, comments, if you have any more information about some of the things we talked about, then please, yes, email us at diggingdeeperwiththeancients@gmail.com. And I will be posting as many pictures as I can of the various artist renditions of the seven wonders of the ancient world on our Instagram at Digging Deeper with the Ancients.
All one word. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, and if you've made it this far, I would hope you have, please like, share, subscribe. We really want to grow this show, so if you could share it with as many people as you can, that would be fantastic. And I know there's been a lot of people who have been doing that because we'll get one listener in a city and then suddenly we'll have five listeners in that city. So it's fantastic. So thank you, everyone who's doing that.
Thank you.
Have a great day.